Welcome to our service for the 20th Sunday after Trinity. The last of our harvest services is at Llangrannog today. Whilst here in our online service, we hear the wonderful words of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We begin, though, with Mary Byrne's lovely Irish hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Great heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be thou my vision, O ruler of all. Time of penitence. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 20th Sunday after Trinity. God, the giver of life, whose Holy Spirit wells up within your Church, by the Spirit's gifts equip us to live the gospel of Christ, and make us eager to do your will, that we may share with the whole creation the joys of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 12. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
The New Testament reading is from the letter to Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honour, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest for ever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
that I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. From today's Old Testament reading, the righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. There are two things which you might think are fairly fundamental, which we would like to know about this passage from Isaiah and don't. We'd like to know who wrote it, and we'd like to know who it's about. We're fairly sure when and where it was written. It was probably written in Babylon, in the period of the Jewish exile there, because this is the same author who describes the highway by which the exiles will return from Jerusalem, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We don't think that he's the prophet we call Isaiah of Jerusalem. That Isaiah was working in Jerusalem at the time of its invasion and conquest, some years or decades before. It's possible that he was taken into exile in Babylon, but unlikely that he lived so long as to be the author of this text. And in any case, the style is somewhat different. Both these authors are great poets, and it's possible that the second is included in the same book as the first because he took inspiration from his great predecessor. We usually call him Second Isaiah. But the even greater mystery is who this passage is about. Who is the righteous one, my servant? Some scholars have suggested that it's the prophet himself. Some that it's Jehoiakim, who was the king of Judah, captured and taken into exile by Nebuchadnezzar. Some have suggested that the passages refer to the whole people of Judah as the servant. That last suggestion sounds, and in my view is, a bit far-fetched, but the desperation of it is born of the fact that these extraordinary verses don't fit well with anyone in the exilic period. And not only do they not fit with anyone we know about, neither do they fit with anyone we can imagine. We could imagine, for example, that when King Jehoiakim was put in prison, the Jewish people understood it as their king being punished for their own sins, the sins of the whole people. That, after all, was what first Isaiah had prophesied, that Jerusalem would be captured because the people had not been truly faithful to the Lord. But how could the punishment visited upon Jehoiakim make the people whole? How could the people be healed by the bruises he bore? Indeed, how can the punishment visited on anyone be healing for others who deserve punishment? Not only will the servant somehow bear the bruises which others deserve, he will create in them righteousness. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, as well as bear their iniquities. We simply can't imagine who these verses were originally about. Into this vacuum of interpretation, if we could call it that, the first Christians poured their understanding that these verses were prophetic and that they prophesied about Jesus, the one unique individual in history whose suffering would indeed be on behalf of others and would indeed make others righteous. There were two reasons, really, why the first Christians could not accept that the cross of Christ, the crucifixion, was the bitter ending that it appeared to be. The first, one suspects, is that their hearts and minds simply would not accept it. They had known Jesus and had loved him, had been known by him and been loved by him. They knew in the depths of their being that for them at least, he had the words of eternal life. The crucifixion simply could not be God's ending to the coming of the kingdom that Jesus had taught them to preach and had exemplified in his extraordinary ministry. If that was the first reason, The second was at once more prosaic and more mysterious. It was the mystery of the empty tomb, the miracle of the resurrection. The accounts of the resurrection vary, of course, and sometimes those who see the risen Christ do not understand what they are seeing. There is sufficient room for interpretation, enough room, if you will, for doubting Thomas, enough room for us to be able to say that the rising of Jesus was not an event which was easily accepted or easily comprehended and understood even by those who saw it. But verses like these from 2 Isaiah gave the early Christians a framework for their interpretation of the cross and resurrection together. To be hanged on a tree was to be cursed in ordinary Jewish understanding. But this mysterious figure from 2 Isaiah, described some 400 or 500 years before Jesus, helped the first Christians understand how the crucifixion might be interpreted as God's Messiah suffering not as a criminal, nor yet as a political failure, but as the Redeemer of his people, and ultimately, the Redeemer of the world. When you make his life an offering for sin, wrote 2 Isaiah, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Christians came to believe that the crucifixion of Jesus was his own willed offering for sin, and that in the resurrection his days were prolonged. He shall prolong his days, Isaiah had written. Similarly, they believed that through Jesus, the will of the Lord would prosper and God would bring many children to glory. The will of the Lord shall prosper, wrote Isaiah. He shall see his offspring, his children. Those children we are. And Christians through the ages have proclaimed, he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Out of his anguish we have seen light. He has dressed us, as we could never have dressed ourselves, in the robes of his righteousness, so that we may say with doubting Thomas, looking at his wounds and touching them, my Lord and my God. Amen.
From within, deep within. choose to be.
And so to our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Amphia, but we begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad dat hanoit in de nevoith, sancte de enu, de led de devnas gunella de wachlis, meges in ene vechli ar de ar hebid. Der oni heddiw ein bara bein yddiol, a maddai yn i ein dyledion, fel y maddai yn i na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni broddedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are always ready to love us and accept us, always more ready to hear than we to pray. Teach us to abide in you and know that you abide in us, to place ourselves in your presence and your peace, and to live and work to your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. We pray for the Church. Lord, as you have called us, make us worthy of our calling. Let us see you in others, and let others see you in us. Make us more sensitive to others and to their needs, and make us more ready to help and show we care. Lord, make us a serving church, a giving church, a loving church. We pray for our Bishop Jo and wish her well on her return to work, and we pray for Archdeacon Eileen, for John, our LMA Dean, and for Matthew, Judith and Halewyn, and for all the volunteers who give of their time to keep our churches going. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At this autumn time, we give thanks to our Creator God for daily bread and all who work to bring your harvest home. Forgive us, Lord, for our ingratitude, we who have so much, yet waste what you have given. We pray for all those whose harvest has been poor, whose crops have withered, and whose children starve. Bless those who bring relief to the needy, and make us a generous people, that all might share from your garden. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the environment and for the forthcoming conference on climate change to be held in Glasgow this November. We pray for wisdom for all those taking part and for the constructive and peaceful discussions. We pray for that those taking part will make decisions that will benefit all people, especially those who have contributed least to the climate crisis, yet live on the front line, facing disastrous impacts daily. And we pray for beneficial and fruitful outcomes that will have a lasting impact. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are suffering from COVID-19, and we pray especially for the young people who have yet to be vaccinated and who are now at risk. Dear Father, we pray for all who are sick in mind, body or spirit. We pray especially for Brian. And in a moment of quiet, we name in our hearts those known to us who are in need of our prayers today. Healing God, bless those who are recovering from illness or surgery. Grant strength, patience, and freedom from pain. Bring restoration of health through your Spirit's power. Reach out and touch them so they know you are there, bringing comfort and light even in the darkest of times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are grieving the loss of someone dear to them. Thank you for the remembrance of loved ones no longer with us, for their inspiring words, their encouragement, love and support, an example for us to follow. May their legacy be seen in the people we have become, and may we always be thankful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.